All right, well, since it's 8 a.m., I would like to get started with the general session for general chemistry here on Wednesday morning. I'd like to thank you all for being here. I think we have a really nice kind of mix of presentations based on plant nutrients and contaminants in both agricultural systems and natural systems, so it should be a really great morning. I will be taking a break at 9:50 a.m. My name is Jay Weeks, I'm a PhD candidate at Kansas State University, and I'll be moderating this with Diego Barcelos from the University of Georgia at Athens, and Dinesh Aghari, yes, from the University of Nevada at Reno. So we'd like to thank Dr. Owen Duckworth for organizing this session and for allowing us to moderate this. It's a nice opportunity for graduate students to get involved. For all the speakers, we will be giving two signs for time warnings at 12 minutes. We'll hold up three fingers to let you know you have 3 minutes left. And then at 14 minutes, we'll stand up and kindly escort you off at 15 minutes. So we try to stay on time with everything. So I believe it's about 8:05 now, so we'd like to welcome our first speaker. We have Sudipta Rakshid, and the title of the presentation is An In-Situ ATR-FTIR Study of Phosphates and Oxytetracycline Surface Complexation on Kaolinites in a Competitive Adsorption Scenario. So, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for coming to the talk and the session. As he suggested, I'm going to talk about molecular mechanism of phosphate and oxytetracycline on kaolinite in a mixture, binary mixture. The other co-author is my student who is currently pursuing PhD in University of California. So this work has been done in Department of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences at Tennessee State University in Nashville. Just to make sure this is not in Knoxville, where Mike is from, because you know we have been told that make sure that Tennessee State University is different from University of Tennessee Knoxville. So I just want to make sure. Although I work with Mike a lot, that's not a problem. So antibiotic in the environment has been going like last 10, 15 years, thousands of papers published, so there's nothing new. Huge amount of antibiotic has been used to produce cattle, chicken, pork, and also fish, because, you know, we have to eat all those things, so we are not vegetarian. So to treat those animals and keep them healthy, there are tons of antibiotic used. There are wide range. Also humans, you know, for surviving, we have to use antibiotics too. So the major pathway, this was back in 2003, Boxall, Environmental Science Technologies, and I started to show what are the pathways antibiotics can come. You know, it can come from manure stockpile capos, or if you apply manure in the agricultural land, untreated manure for, you know, fertilizer as a fertilizer, that can go in the non-point source of pollution. The point source comes from human antibiotic that goes directly to the sewage. And sewage is never treated for antibiotics, so it all is going to groundwater or surface water or in the environment. So look at the history from 1908 to 2003. This is what we from Nature Microbiology from Wright, 2007. Just to show that how many antibiotics have been produced in this time frame, and who recently published a long list of human antibiotics that are resistant, because the main problem of antibiotic, even low level of concentration in the environment, is the microbes get resistant, and then you have to develop another drug to kill the bugs, you know. So that is a problem. Even for veterinary antibiotic, we see in the sewage treatment plants, scaffolds, and fish farm, there are a number of publications that found out that tetracycline-resistant genes have been found. So the thing is, the fate is very important. To understand the fate, the surface interaction mechanism of antibiotic is the most important thing, even if it goes to transformation. The first step is to interact with the surface. So if we understand well using molecular probe, then we can really do the risk assessment or their pathways of environmental transformations. So there are many studies that have been done that really looking at these binary mixtures or really in situ probes in a dynamic conditions are very rare. So here I propose to do phosphate and oxytetracycline on TDO absorption on kaolinite, which is a very common soil mineral, clay mineral 1:1. So kaolinite is a purchase from Clay Mineral Society and washed according to the procedure, basically sedimentation and mechanical procedure to isolate the clay fraction. And then the batch sorption experiment and in situ ATR-FTR experiments have been done. There's loading isotherm, pH envelope, and competitive absorption. So this is the in situ ATR-FTR system. Don't have a laser pointer, but so this is the flow cell. This is a closed flow cell, open flow cell. You coat it with zinc selenite flow cell. You coat it with the mineral and dry it for a day, and then you got to close the flow cell, and you have an inlet and outlet that ends in the reservoir. And in this reservoir, you have a solution, ionic strength control, pH, and everything. And then you are also purging with argon, so that you know it gets carbonate free. Carbonate sometimes gives you, you know, interferences. So after 2.5 hour equilibration, you add your solute, and then as soon as you add the solute, you get the signals of if there is something happening with the surface. The difference between ex situ and other system is here it's very easy to take care of the background correction, because 2.5 hour you keep taking the background spectra and the mineral deposit is very stable with the flowing solution. So once it's done, then whatever solute it added, your mineral contribution or other contribution is very well subtracted. So this is the phosphate only system. I'm gonna show phosphate only system, tetracycline only system, and then mixed system. This is I have done only to understand what peak of phosphate I'm looking into. It's not a very detailed about phosphate binding. So what you see here, 25 to 1 millimolar phosphate isotherm in the FTIR, and 1138 centimeter inverse peak is very prominent. Although in the higher concentration, this noise is a little low. 1109, 1076 peaks are prominent. So what it is showing that there is a symmetry reduction from dissolved phosphate like H2PO4- and H2PO4-. So they are actually surface complexing with kaolinite. And it's a strong surface complexation because I have also conducted an experiment with 3 different ion strains where I didn't find much differences in the peak shapes and the sizes. So it's indirectly or directly showing that phosphate complexation with the kaolinite surface is very strong. Now, tetracycline only system, this is sorption isotherm from 10 micromolar to 100 micromolar tetracycline. They are stacked, you know, the spectra are stacked to show that different peaks, but I'm going to go over detail on the each individual peaks in the pHH, but here the main point is in the different spectra, when you take the highest concentration and the lowest concentration and you take the different spectra, you find that there are some peaks, shape and the sizes are very different from the either 100 or 10. It is showing that when you increase the concentration, your mechanism of binding is changing. So people who are doing, you know, really loading up their FTIR ex situ spectra with a 1 millimolar antibody to see the, you know, surface interactions, they might be seeing something different compared to what is happening at 10 micromolar. I could even do 1 nanomolar. I just didn't show because, you know, the peaks are, you know, very difficult to discern. Now this is the pHH where, you know, you control the pH. Basically, you change the pH from 8.5 to 4.5, and at equilibrium, So tetracycline, if you look at the molecule here, it has several functional groups that combine normally CONH2 diethyl amino and the phenolic OH it can bind. And there are a lot of electron delocalization going on. I just have a resonance structure. If you look at the CONH2 group, that CN bond may have a partial double bond character and CO bond may have a partial single bond character because, you know, the electron is delocalized. So a lot of the FTIR vibrations will be coming from there. If that nitrogen molecule is bonding with the surface, then this double bond character will be lost and this single bond character will be lost because the electron can no longer be delocalized. From those things, you can really understand what is going on the surface. So if you look at here, 1647, 1617, these are the carbonyl peaks, 1599, 1574. It's from the literature and our earlier study with magnetite, we figured out, and these are NH bond, 1599 and 1574. And also look at the pK of the functional groups, CONH2 3.57, phenolic weight 7.47, and dimethyl amino 9.44. So what happens when pH increased beyond 3.57, that CONH2 group has a lone pair availability. So CONH2 group can bind with the positive surface. That's what you see here. When going from 1599 to here, it's a stronger peak, but then again it's faded away because the hematite surface is becoming negative also, right? So its interactions becoming less. Now for dimethyl amino, it's hard to separate out the CN bond because you have CONH2 CN bond and the dimethyl amino CN bond, but still 1262 to 1222, these peaks are basically CN vibration bonds, and you see with pH there are a lot of differences. For dimethyl amino, obviously you won't see too much vibrations or bonding beyond before pH 9.44, but still some interactions are visible from CH vibration. So dimethyl amino has two methyl groups, right? So if nitrogen is bonding with some surface, then these CH bond vibrations will change because, you know, the methyl group, they are inductive effect on the nitrogen. So 1468, basically more interaction with dimethyl amino group. If you see here, this is a larger peak and then the peak shapes are different, so it's showing that at the higher pH, dimethyl amino group is interacting well. Now it's a competitive absorption or mixed system. This is some way the data about 100 micromolar phosphorus and tetracycline. I wanted to have a little bit more tetracycline just to see, you know, it can dissolve phosphorus or not. But the data suggests that, you know, it's not within the error. And I had to do it in the glove box and manual pH control because, you know, if I use buffer, and I've seen a lot of problems, you know. So we did in the glove box with a decarbonated situation, with deoxygenated situation and manual pH control, and the data looked pretty good. And also, I want to mention there are a number of studies. They're measuring antibiotic in the invisible spectrophotometer while working in the minerals, and Gu and Karthikeyan back in, I think, in 2005 paper, they showed that invisible peak shifts in presence of dissolved cation in the solution. So it's paper published in JCIS and other places, and they just use UVBs. You cannot really do that because then you have aberrant data. We used UVBs along with this, and we found the data is completely different. So HPLC is much better things to do. So this is showing the kinetics, or, you know, the time series of phosphate and tetracycline competition at two different pH. Here, phosphate first and tetracycline later. You see this peak? This is phosphate peak. This is final phosphate. And then when it goes to the last tetracycline, the phosphate peak doesn't change much. But tetracycline peak here, you know, we talked about earlier slides. These are all increasing with time. So that pH 5.5, and the same thing happened at pH 6.5. What it is showing is basically phosphate first, binding in the kaolinite surface. Even if after that you add tetracycline in 1:1 molar ratio at 50 micromolar, it's not desorbing, and they're resorbing together in the surface. Same thing when you add tetracycline first. So here tetracycline peaks, they don't change, but here I add phosphate right here, and then phosphate peaks changing to getting equilibration, right? So phosphate is increasing, but tetracycline peaks neither decreasing or increasing. This is showing that, you know, the competitive absorption, they're not competing really with each other. It could be there are more surface sites available for both of them to absorb, but there is one point here is hematite is actually doing, kaolinite, when tetracycline interacting with kaolinite, it's not cationic exchange. That is very clear, because if phosphate is also absorbing on the surface, then the surface would be probably positively charged. This is just a picture of the equilibrium absorption, like I was showing that time series. Here the peaks are subtracted, like here you have different spectra of this. So final phosphate spectra at 50 micromolar, final phosphate spectra 50 micromolar, final phosphate plus tetracycline spectra at 50 micromolar, and then you have subtracted spectra. Just to show that, you know, there is no phosphate peak in the subtracted spectra, showing that phosphate, you know, was in the system. So, conclusion, phosphorus indicated strong binding with kaolinite surface, tetracycline interacted with kaolinite via CYH2 phenol equation, dimethyl amidone groups. Surface interaction of tetracycline is most likely near sphere type. There is no competition for absorption sites between phosphorus, tetracycline in the environmental concentration range. Our finding was important in environmental applications. Scenario 1, you can think that untreated manure applied to agricultural land, tetracycline added with manure would not mobilize phosphorus from the mineral surface, or if phosphorus fertilizer is applied in manure treated land, no tetracycline would be mobilized. Scenario 2, wastewater treatment technology, phosphate will not interfere with tetracycline immobilization. 3, drug delivery system, there are lots of absorbents used for drug delivery nowadays in medical science, so they can go together if they have to be transferred to some drug delivery target. So overall, insight into the molecular level interaction of tetracycline phosphate binary system, the results can help design risk assessment criteria. Acknowledgement, Evan Salant and startup grant from Tennessee State University, Dr. Gregory Leffrey from Institute of Chemie Paris for helpful advice with IR study. And I do have some data with sulfate.
We actually need to move on. I'm sorry. We're
just a second. This is 1132 P. That is for sulfate. And at pH 7.5, you see the desorption. And pH 6.5 is not that much. So it is very interesting because sulfate is known to do outer sphere complex. And some pH it does inner sphere complex, sulfate. So the difference is right there, that, you know, the covalent type bonding by tetracycline. Thank you.